Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and what's going on? I hope everybody enjoyed the NFL football and college football. It was a very active weekend, and of course, if you're a football fan, you couldn't have been in better shape watching. And of course, some mighty crazy games, especially in the college slate. Some wild and woolly finishes, but kind of like the markets right now, they're kind of wild and woolly, as we saw. A late run up on Friday, and it's all about what's going to happen here on Wednesday. It's an interesting story we're developing here. Think about it. It's all about what the Fed is going to do. Are you kidding me? We're going to wait for a bunch of mopes that have no clue, no idea, don't even know where they are, and are going to decide the future or the near future of the markets. Now, it's amazing how we look at the battle of what is actually happening. And, you see it in the bond markets. You see it in the equity markets. And you saw a little bit in gold. Oil, where we've got these players looking, and you've got action. It's like stepping up to the betting window. You've got actions on both sides of the market waiting to see what the mopes are going to do. And again, I call them mopes because, and first of all, in the history of the Federal Reserve, they have never been right on predicting what they should do and being right. Not once have they been right on deciding when to make a decision. Of course, that's basically because they have no clue. Now, again, I cannot say that they are not smart people, as far as, people that, have high IQs and have read books and can certainly act upon theory. But as we all know, theory does not apply to the real world. Theory is something you learn in a classroom, and you learn to, if this happens, that happens, and I'll do this. But we're seeing now that it's a total joke as to what Janet Yellen and all of the other Fed governors are doing, because they have no clue. Now, one might think that they were actually investing their own money into markets and manipulating the market according to their position. Now, that I'm not saying that they do that, but certainly one might think, a conspiracy theorist might think, that there's something awfully funky going on when they change their opinion in their minds more often than you change your underwear. Now, to me, it's absurd to listen to these jackasses speak, because what I don't get is that they don't have an idea. Now, we can talk about what they're supposed to do and what they should do, but they have zero clue as to what should be done next. They have totally butchered the entire financial system. Although their job is to protect it, they have actually, in my opinion, again, this is my opinion, they have ruined it. They have ruined the opportunity for growth to this stage. They have ruined where we should be going and where we should be at today. Now, you know, we've heard, you know, talk about that SEP is going to be a raise. And again, I am still on record, and I will continue to say no increase this year. And then somebody says, well, what about next year and into the election? They're not going to raise in the election. Well, why would they care about the election? They are not supposed to have an affiliation with the election. So who cares what they do? The problem is that they don't know what to do. The problem is they have the common sense of a flea. Okay? The problem is that from a business standpoint, they have no idea. They do know how to print money, which we've obviously seen since the budget, the deficit has gone up into the trillions now. They do know how to create bubbles, asset bubbles. And of course, one of the things I find interesting is nobody is willing to admit that we are in an asset bubble. But of course, we are. And when it pops, they'll go, oh, we were in a bubble. Now, why can't we recognize this to begin with? That's always my problem, is I can see it. I think you can see it. But they can't see it. Now, they're supposed to be, and I say supposed to be because they're not, but they're supposed to be the smartest people in the room. But when you continue to try to dress up a crap and make it look better and presentable, that you can't change what the issue is. The issue is we have no growth, no jobs, and a whole bunch of nothing, with the exception of the middle class being destroyed by the workings of the Federal Reserve. Now, you know, obviously, there's different views on this, and some believe that the Federal Reserve should not exist. Some believe we should have a currency backed by something, not the fiat currency that we have. I don't have an opinion on that one way or the other. I don't know. It's not my specialty. But what is my specialty is knowing when people have no idea of what their next move is going to be. And they are basically flipping a coin, deciding the future of trillions of dollars and people. Okay, that's what's going to happen to them next. Now, that to me is a broken down system that does not allow the entrepreneurial spirit, the free markets, to participate. And that is the problem, is that we are supposed to be in a free market society. Markets themselves will determine what is fair, given the opportunity of not being manipulated. But of course, when you have people that have no sense manipulating, it's kind of tough to do it, okay? So it is going to be Wednesday. We will hear what's going to happen. But, I mean, for me, I don't care from a trading standpoint, because I'll be able to benefit either way. But I do care from an American standpoint and from a view for all of you, because this could be another crushing blow in the wonderful, magical world of the Federal Reserve. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here for a break, and we're going to come back with our friend Mike McClone.
All right, boys,
from ETF Securities. Make sure you check out thebubbashow.org. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Stay with me, man. Listen up. This is philosophical.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show with Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I'm bringing in my man, my expert, my ETF guy, Mike McClone from ETF Securities. Mike, welcome back to the Bubba Show.
Thanks, Todd. Thanks for having me back. It's good to be back.
It's always good to have you on, Mike, because you know what? You do bring so many good things to the show, and your products are second to none as far as I'm concerned. In fact, I've been talking a lot about silver, and in my opinion, the best way to play silver is through SIVR, which is one of the ETF security products, and I know you're a fan of silver. What are you thinking now in silver? With the model's kind of flawed, and I don't mean something wrong, but it's like there's a big demand, but for some reason, prices are stalled.
Yeah, it's still going down. Is a comment I heard you make, and Kitco was, the silver technicals look bad because they keep going down, but the fundamentals just keep getting better. Now, that's all that stuff is, you know, on our website. You can get that on the latest. I just put out my August precious metals commentary, where you can see that, you know, the demand for silver, really kind of the elastic demand, that's demand that responds prices, is just off the charts. Coin sales, which is elastic demand, or, you know, imports in China and India are just really taking off, as they should, because silver, number one thing to remember about silver, as you pointed out, it's industrial. But look at the trend in silver. About 55% of the total demand for silver now is about, you know, industrial applications. 10 years ago, that was 45%. So where is that going in the future? And most of the silver is related to electronics, because silver is the best conductor of electricity. So it's getting rather, actually very cheap. It's just a question how much cheaper it can get. But it's being dragged down by this global plunge in commodity prices. And we know crude oil is down over the last year. You know, just you look at the last 12 months, you know, crude oil is down 51%. So it's dragging a lot of things down. It's just a point, at some point that'll change. But that's also part of this deflationary trend, which leads us, both of us, to conclude that there's really no, you know, reason the Fed should be tightening. In fact, they might be creating a major problem to be tightening in a deflation environment. I hate to bring the Fed in, but we all know that's all that matters at the moment.
Well, I mean, that is the number one topic. I mean, you know, here we are. It's Monday, and Fed is coming out Wednesday. I mean, and it has been the topic of conversation. You know, every time we get close, you know, the experts, the economists, all the geniuses have been calling for rate hikes every time they go in the meeting, and every time they come out and they don't raise rates. And I'm on record, and I will say once again, they will not raise rates again. They can't. They don't have the guts to raise the rates, although it shouldn't be done now. But the bottom line is business is going to continue to suffer. What is your take, and do you think they will raise?
Well, I hope you're right. I do not think they should. If I was there, I wouldn't even consider it. But I'm afraid they might make a mistake and do a misfire like the ECB did in 2011, like we talked about, the Bank of Japan didn't, like the Fed did during the Great Depression. And that is what I think a lot of us are worried about. You know, I've heard one analyst say, yeah, if they raise rates, I'm going to buy gold that day, because it might be a big problem. But this trend we see that, you know, I gave a presentation this week in front of a bunch of wealth managers. I pointed out this trend in retail sales. Is I see something that just I find very disconcerting. All these signals that I look at is, what are the markets telling me? And that's one indication. What, you know, that's not so much of a market, but basically retail sales are right near where they were before the collapse in 2008. That's running 2.3%. Unemployment's actually higher now than we were in when they Fed started cutting rates in 2007. It was actually below 5%. Yet it wasn't really trending at the time. So to me, this is the risk of a misfire is the biggest issue. And who knows, they might do that. I mean, they've been acting that way. But I think at this meeting, I both think you and I both agree that there's no reason they should raise rates. And if they do, we'll watch out.
Well, again, I just don't think they've done a very good job. I mean, I don't like to criticize, because I'd love to criticize their face. But I think they've done a very poor job at A, managing this thing. And it's funny, the other day somebody asked me, why do they let the Fed governors keep going out and talking about this stuff? Because all it does is create turmoil among everybody. I mean, why is it, you know, it's like, you know, tweeting something. It's like when a guy gets long, he goes out and says, well, we're not going to raise rates. So you see a big spike in the market. And then another guy comes out, he got short. And he goes, well, we're going to raise rates. And of course, the market sells off. But I mean, my opinion is the Fed should have no interest now in the stock market. I mean, originally their mandate monetary policy and blah, 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 blah. That's all done. But as far as the stock market, they should not be concerned with the day-to-day activity of the stock market. And I think that's one of the problems, because they're too busy watching, like everybody else watching their 401ks every day. The Fed is watching the market like minute by minute. And I think that's a big fallacy, which is why the Fed has never been right. Let me ask you this question. I don't know this for 100% fact, but I'm pretty sure that they've never made the correct call. But I might be wrong, so I'm going to defer to you for a minute because I know you do study that a little bit harder than I do. Have they ever made the correct call?
Well, that's one thing that was actually, you're reiterating an article is actually in the Wall Street Journal recently where they pointed out Fed GDP estimates and actual GDPs over, since like 2009 have been, these GDP actual GDP has been like less than half of what they've been estimating. So you got to, at that point, as an analyst, I would say, what am I missing? And when you're that wrong, you have to just pull back and say, well, I can't be considering making any type of policy based on my estimates if I'm just consistently inaccurate. And I think the point you made about too many governors making too many comments, that's just creating a little bit more apprehension in the markets. And unfortunately, they can't just speak on one voice, which I guess they don't really know till they get to the meeting. But the bottom line is, I think I got this out of this meeting. I was really impressed with a bunch of senior money managers, really money for a lot of high net worth individuals. And the sense I got from it was they are now worried that the Fed is going to raise rates because they're worried about saving face, which I thought of, wow, that's akin to something similar to what happened in the Great Depression, rather than what I would think as a decision maker, full decision maker. You always have to think ahead. What are the repercussions of my decisions? And to me, the bigger risk is that they do raise rates and that this volatility that just started to migrate to U.S. equities that you and I talked about for over a year, it's only starting. If that continues, then people will blame the Fed. Not rightly so. They couldn't, they might, but they probably will blame the Fed, even though, raising from, a target of that's like 12 basis points to a target of 25 basis points, that's not really significant, but it's just a trend, and then the market will blame them. I don't think they'd want to be blamed, and my thought is, well, let's just see some inflation pick up, and I can dig into that a little bit. PPI was just out, and it's not showing any inflation.
Well, there is not. I mean, look, I blame the Fed. I personally blame the Fed. I think they've done a crappy job. Now, again, I don't want to put words in your mouth, and I don't mean to do that, but they could have averted all of this. And the truth of the matter is we are really, other than the stock market, I don't see us much better off than we were during the collapse of 08. I don't see it, Mike. I'd love to say I'm wrong, and I could be wrong, but I don't see it. I see the middle class still struggling. I don't see jobs. I see a lousy GDP, but yet, when they had the opportunity, and we had a real shot back in probably 13 when Bernanke, when we had what they call it, the taper tantrum, and then Bernanke changed his mind in that fateful May. If they had to raise rates then, we would probably be out on the other side of this already, and I wouldn't be having this conversation saying how bad of a job they did, because at the end, had they started raising rates then, we might have, the cycle might have cleared, and we might have been able to get through this, and people would have been able to borrow money, and people would have been able to build businesses, and then I think we would have had more growth. What do you think?
Well, I think a lot of that resonates, and I have to admit that one of the main reasons that now we've got to levels I saw some pretty significant attractive buy signals in gold and silver, and obviously I've been in a buy signal in the bond market for over a year. Part of the main reasons I know I have to take the risk of being on the record of putting out these recommendations and knowing I could be wrong. That's the hardest part about being an analyst is when you're wrong and have to answer it is I put myself a year from now, and the biggest thing that makes me lose sleep is the stock market foundation. It has had this one of the biggest rallies in history based on QE, and it is not anywhere near kept up with GDP. In fact, it's extended global gross domestic product by almost 6 times. That's almost never happened in the last 30 years, meaning so it's way overextended. My biggest fear is a year from now that this whole QE-inspired rally comes apart or mean reverts, like you and I say. So I did a really cool chart I like, and I put this in the PM monthly. Now, you just look at gold overlaid with the inverse, inverse of gold overlaid with the S&P 500 from like 2011. And at the peak in 2011, gold was around 1900. And at that point, that was the low, S&P 500 was around 1200. All they've done is transposed. So right now, gold is around 1200, a little bit less, 1100. And the S&P is now 1900. My fear is that they mean revert back to, my guess would be, unfortunately, I hate to say this, 1600.
And you know what? I would not disagree with that. Actually, my number has been for quite a while is 1586 to be exact in the S&P. I mean, but we're going to come back. This is Mike McClone from ETF Securities. You got to check out their website, etfsecurities.com. They do have an understand how to properly price those ETFs where you, the customer, consumer, don't get cheated or screwed on the fees that get charged. This is a base operation. Love the products. I think they're great. You got to check them out, ETFSecurities.com. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm with Mike McClone. Also, you can see Mike's report on at TheBubbaShow.org. Make sure you check it out. We're going to stop out here for a break. We'll be right back with more from Mike, The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my friend, my colleague, a very smart guy from a great company, Mike McClone, ETF Securities. Again, Mike, I do say that you guys do have the best ETFs, and I'm gonna have you tell me about them later. But I do have, you know, we left off talking about the Fed and their nature and what's going on and the problems, and then the mean reversion of gold and all those things. Now, you know, right now it appears that, you know, everybody's waiting for the crash. So, of course, we know that when you're waiting for something, it's not going to happen. What do you see the reaction possibly coming this week? But more importantly, and I think what nobody's talking about is the collapse in the commodity markets, because they're getting slaughtered, which goes back to your inflation theory. But it's killing the producers. It's killing everybody. Nobody benefits when you have deflation, when prices get so cheap that the guys that are making them can't make any money. So tell us what you see and give us that rundown.
Oh, well, first, the Fed, I mean, I don't think they're supposed to go, but there's tightening that's priced in. So if they don't go, taking that tightening out will probably be bad for the dollar, good for stocks, and maybe good for gold, at least in the short term for that day. The question will be what will happen afterwards, and who knows. But at least for the volatility, there'll be volatility if they don't tighten. If they do tighten, there'll be the statement. And I suspect in the statement, we're going to go real slow, and they're going to say anything they can to make sure the market's not too worried about further tightening or whatever. So I'm curious what they do. I think what the base case is they're not going to tighten until later, and the markets will have a relief rally, at least the equity market. That probably be an opportunity to take some profits or get short. But that's really more for traders. Now, as far as the Bloomberg Commodity Index, what I'm concerned about is, we might have mentioned this in a previous show, the Bloomberg Commodity Index is down 5 years in a row. That's never happened. I mean, that's assuming this year is going to be a down year. And the Bloomberg history on this goes back to 1991. I used to manage the S&P GSCI, that's the Goldman Sachs Commodity Index, when I was at S&P. And that history goes back to 1971. So that index has not had more than 2 years down in a row ever, and that's 40 years. So I guess that's an indication of some pretty bad indications. It's certainly not a sign of inflation. It's deflation. And yes, I think we can dig into the more granular things about firms not being able to make money. There's issues with high yield debt, because a lot of that's related to oil companies. But overall, it's an indication that inflation's not a problem, and there's just not a lot of demand. And not only one key thing that was missing, I think, in this whole run-up, everybody was expecting commodities to go higher, is technology. Technology's really improved. I mean, I'm a person who drives a vehicle that gets over 100 miles a gallon because it's electric. It's a Volt, and it's very cost-effective. So, I mean, that technology is just going to continue to increase.
I thought you were riding a bike 100 miles an hour. Jesus.
Well, we do that in the city. That's one thing about New York, a city bike. I ride it everywhere. I love it. You have to be careful. But just that's also another technology. It's that technology that allows you to bike share. You just dock it and pull it out. It costs $165 a year. And compared to what I pay in the subway, it's probably a third.
Right. Yeah, no, of course. I mean, look, if you could get to work without killing yourself and having a nervous breakdown from where you live and where you have to go to work, you probably would drive every day. But because of the traffic, I mean, you know, when you're commuting from Connecticut to New York, you can get lost out there. And they may never find you again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I keep warning my telling my wife. I do have plenty of life insurance, so we're good. But I think someday she'd probably prefer a game. Get lost.
all our wives should think that once in a while, but you know that's what true love is all about. Mike, what do you say? You know, what's your kind of timeline? I mean, we never can predict or time markets, but I mean, you know, we both expect that 1,500-1,600 in the S&P, which means you expect that in the gold market as well. Is that something that is an immediate thing? Are you worried about? Is this over the next year or two? I mean, I personally, you know, I don't like to ask for predictions. I'm not asking you to make a prediction. You know, I look at the markets one level at a time, and I think eventually they work their way down. I don't see a major panic coming up here unless there's an event that, you know, we haven't seen it, like another terrorist type attack. I think it's something that, you know, will just work its way lower. And I think we'll just be kind of in that cycle now. I mean, because I think we've kind of switched over that everybody wants to always buy the dips. I think now we're seeing more of a sell the rally. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, absolutely. That was part of the feedback I got from them. You know, it's just great to be with these 16 people who've been for 30 years managing money. And one, the old guy in the back of the room said, yeah, I'm raising capital. I'm going to continue to raise capital. I really appreciate your chart and retail sales. We talk about it a lot. But one of the quotes that I learned in the pits, and I'm sure you remember well about markets, is oftentimes markets will take the escalator up and the elevator down. And I have to admit, that to me is my biggest fear. I sure hope you're right. I hope I'm right. I hope if we do get, you know, some mean reversion, it's simple and it gives us a chance that the market adjusts and it happens organically, and finally we get to a point where the stock market starts going up without QE based on pure demand pull GDP. But I'm really worried more. I mean, I have to say, I'm more worried about the elevator down, and I think that's what we're supposed to be doing as we enter Q4 from an investor's standpoint, is be positioned. There's nothing wrong with cash, and be careful. And I would just not in the mood to really try to be a hero and buy dips in this environment. I'd rather lose and miss out and come to the end of the year and say, oh, thank God we didn't have this big flush. Because to me, that's the greater risk, is a sharp mean reversion, which I think is a tame way of saying something that people might use the term crash for.
Right. I mean, I think that certainly that is always a possibility. But I think you'll see some more days like we saw on August 24th. But of course, we did rally back, and of course, we're now consolidating again. You know, after that move, and I expect the next move to be, you know, down once again. I think you called it a bear flag being showing up right now on the charts.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit, and that's what I'm worried about. Is I've really been watching the S&P 500, and we mentioned before option expiration in July that maybe helped push up the market in July. Well, we had an option expiration in August, and the key strike was 2000 and 2005. I'm sorry, 2000 and 2050 in the S&P 500 index. It's really the main index. Since we've gotten through that option expiration, the high has been just below 2000. So I see nothing from a technical standpoint except what a lot of technicians would call a bear flag, meaning the market broke down and it's consolidating it over lower levels, waiting for the next move, which is more likely to be the path of least resistance, which appears to be down. So that's what I'm worried about. I'd like to, you know, see, I just want to see some strength and to see a sign of strength that's got to really get above 2000 and stay there. And, you know, I don't want to say if it goes up, it's going to go up. I'm more concerned that it's gone down. It's staying below what was at that time good support, now resistance, and it just looks like it's waiting for the next leg down.
Well, the market just doesn't look it. Let's face facts. The market just does not look good. Okay. We can sugarcoat it all we want, and it may come out of this. I mean, there is, look, one thing we know for sure in the markets, there's no guarantees. Okay. You know, it, right now it's just a market that looks in turmoil. It looks lousy. The data surrounding it, and I don't care. You know, you can hear everybody say, "Well, we're getting 2% growth, 3%." That's not enough, and it's certainly not enough the way we're getting the way the growth is being brought in here. And to me, those are the bigger problems that we continue to ignore. And those things are the things that really get under my skin, because I hear expert after expert who are really just wants to raise money for their funds or for their stocks and get money in, saying that everything's great, just keep buying, keep buying. And I go, you got to be kidding me. You cannot be telling people with a good conscience that you have to be stepping in here and loading up in the equity market. Am I right or wrong?
You're right, and I have to admit I'm in that camp. We have equity products, and I have to admit vested interest. I will want investors to invest in our equity products. But my suggestion as a research guys person is, let's wait until we have better levels and to be invested where we think we can hold on to a longer period of time. And I'd like to think, rather than the sprint, you know, which I try to avoid, and think of the marathon. The marathon is help people make money, and I think in this environment, I'd rather wait a little bit and see either the dust clear or get better levels, because it looks like it's the beginning of a shift. And that's the sense I'm getting. This is a pretty substantial shift in sentiment. It's a shift from the Fed. In the commodity markets and a lot of these other markets have been telling us for a long time, like I mentioned earlier, you know, what are the markets telling us? One market indicator that's been telling us some negative things for a while is the gold-silver ratio, and it's reached a pretty high level, the highest level since 2008, and that's pretty negative indication for global economy. When people just want that store value in gold, and that industrial commodity silver is going on the wayside. It's stayed above this level for such a long time. It really concerns me that we're supposed to heed its warning.
Mike McClone, your insight is always welcomed. We appreciate you. I look forward to talking to you again next week. You are awesome. I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks for having me.
That was Mike McClone from ETF Securities. And you got to check out their ETFs. I'm going to tell you something. They are a terrific set of ETFs that really take care of the precious metals traders. They account for all of the things that most don't. You can track them one against others, and you'll see that you're not getting screwed on fees as you do with many of the others. I find that also to be a disturbing fact. But what I don't find to be disturbing is our friends at Thinkorswim. You know, they put together every day. They've got swim lessons. They've got little webinars to help make you a better trader and more accessible with their platform. I think that you'll find that if you check them out, A, you'll find yourself, and for the most part, paying less commission. I think that if you want to have the best platform that is built by traders for traders, you will find yourself extremely pleased with that. And I think if you email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org, I can hook you up with a special link to get you those rates. And you guys from north of the border, my friends from Canada, you'll never get another deal like this right now. We are one of the few in the United States that can help our friends across the border and get you some realistic rates that you can actually trade and be more active on without having to worry about paying those large commissions with TD Waterhouse or Thinkorswim in Canada. Make sure you email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. Very important that you get yourself hooked up and save some dough on the commissions. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step by here for a break, and we'll be right back. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Heading down south to the land of the pine.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, as you know, I have so much fun doing the show here, and I have so much fun being on air, on media, where I get to talk and really express my views and my opinions as to what I see from my standpoint. And as you also know, I'm a big basher of what I call manipulation and firms and funds that try to take advantage of you, the poor investor. I've seen it for years. I used to trade against it in the pits. And to me, I find it A, embarrassing, and B, really a tragic thing that happens when we go forward. But I was actually working as a reporter on Friday instead of a commentator. I was actually reporting on oil, filling in for my good friend Phil Flynn, who had some personal business to take care of. So I was actually helping Maria Bartiromo on Mornings with Maria. But Goldman Sachs has made another ridiculous call, in my opinion. I would say, you know, moronic. I would say manipulative. But let's hear about oil, and you'll hear what I had to say about it. Here we go.
$20 a barrel. Now, OPEC is saying that it expects prices to remain in the $40 to $50 price range for the rest of the year. Todd Horowitz is standing by in Chicago. Todd, good morning to you. What are we seeing this morning in terms of oil markets? We know what Goldman's saying.
Good morning, Maria. And I think Goldman is actually trying to force the markets down. This is the third call to for a $20 call on oil. Really, oil, like everything else, is trying to out-handicap the Fed and what they're going to do next week. We've seen OPEC step in and say, hey, we're going to continue with production, but yet prices are kind of stabilizing here in the $45 level. And I expect that to continue to be the same way because, again, we've got too many people on the short side and too many people looking for a big push down. But a lot will have to do with the Fed next Thursday.
All right. So you think this is a call from Goldman, but you're on the other side of the trade. Is that what you're saying, Todd?
I am definitely on the other side of the trade. I think Goldman wants to be on the other side as well. I think they're trying to talk their book and push it down so they can get out of their short positions because I think the short side is getting a little bit too crowded in oil right now.
All right, Todd. Thanks so much. Todd Horowitz, have a great day, Todd. Thank you. $20.
And that is was part one of me with Maria Bartiromo. And I got to get into a little bit more, and it's a little bit different because I don't really get a chance to expound upon my views. But here comes part two.
Lower, although to remain in the $40 to $50 price range for the rest of the year. Todd Horowitz is standing by in Chicago. And Todd, we're seeing that news weigh on prices this morning with Goldman's call. But you think they're pushing prices lower so that they can buy them?
That's correct, Maria. Good morning. And I think it's absurd, the call. I think it's irresponsible. They would have said 33, the 2009 low. I can live with that. But to make a ridiculous call of $20 from this level here with what's going on in the economy and the prospect of what's going to go on, to me, reeks of somebody who says we need to get prices lower so we can accumulate and buy either our shorts back or build a long position. Oil is under a little bit more pressure. We're down about another 1% since we last talked. But look for it to be under pressure. It's really following the futures right now.
Yeah, it's an interesting story, Todd, because the question is, Gary Kaminsky, does lower commodities prices lead an economy, or does an economy that's falling lead commodities lower?
Well, there hasn't been any evidence that lower oil prices has factored into any specific area of the economy other than maybe casual dining and some apparel. Remember, on this call, Goldman Sachs was very, very adamant years ago that oil was going to 150,
right,
and also said it would never trade below 100 in our lifetime. So it's a research call, and it's an opinion, but it's the same firm, you know, that said 150 price target and never below 100 in our lifetime.
Sounds like you agree with Todd. They're basically manipulating.
Goldman called for 200 by 2010.
That's right, 200. That was their call,
exactly.
200. You're absolutely
Let's not forget that.
Exactly.
Because
so
that was
took it even above that 150 price target, yep.
Yeah, and they're saying, by the way, $20 isn't the base case here.
Maybe they pulled out the report and it said 200. They just took off the O and said, let's go to 20.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a short break. Call. We'll be right back.
So, you know, again, you can see that others do agree with the view that I have. And again, it doesn't make me right, but I've been around long enough to see stupid calls, idiot calls, and that reeks of Goldman, you know, trying to, once again, you know, the number one bank, the guys who somehow managed to always remain unscathed, making a call that to me is certainly just a manipulative call that they want to make sure that they can get in and get long oil or own oil, or they're trying to cover all their shorts. So they're making sure that all of the people that listen to them keep the prices lower. And I think that, to me, is, again, I've called it before. I think it's absurd. I think it's ridiculous. I think it smells bad. And it's just another way of our good friends over at Goldman Sachs trying to push their weight around and manipulate markets, because they've made silly calls before. And, of course, because they have so many followers, very similar to the the Carl Icahn tweets. You know, when Carl Icahn tweets out something, all he's doing is locking in a couple of million dollars in profit for himself, because like sheep, everybody thinks that he knows so much. And let's not forget, okay, that Carl Icahn last year lost 8%. With all his great trading in Apple and Herbalife, he still lost 8%. Now, there's nothing wrong with losing 8%. I am not being critical, because losing and investing is part of the game. So it's not that I'm criticizing that part. But what I am certainly criticizing is the way that information now flows. I'm certainly criticizing the ridiculous things that we have to put up with, because basically, in my eyes, just in my eyes, again, they're not illegal because they happen, but it is illegal. It is a form of front-running the tape, which is buying ahead of people before you make an announcement. That is against the law. But somehow, with this new media and things we do, it is no longer considered illegal. Now, years ago, okay, you would have been considered insider trading or doing something like that, and you had to file things to make ridiculous calls. But now you can just get on Twitter and you can just broadcast it out. But this goes back to what we kind of talked about early today, is the Fed is no different. Okay, they make stupid remarks with the pure indication and the pure objective of manipulating the market. And I always say, when or where was it the Fed's job to worry about the day-to-day trading of the markets? Okay, Goldman, I get it. They make a lot of money on their commissions and on their trading by making these calls. But the Fed should not have that same objective. The Fed is supposed to create stability, not, you know, more money for the bankers, not more money for the people that, you know, not only everybody needs money, but more for their wealthy. That is not their job. So I ask you, what do you think about all the ridiculous things that are happening now and the way that stuff is reported? You know, where is the SEC when you need them? Where is the people that are supposed to be protecting the little guy? And basically, it's screw the little guy. Let's make sure we take care of the big guy. And that, to me, also reeks of very problematic things that are happening in this country and with our system. I think that, you know, again, and that's one of the reasons that I remind you that we are running our hedging program. It's a program that consists of 5 webinars to teach you how to hedge your portfolio. We are now in the middle of session 1 of the one-on-one, but maximum of 10 people per group. And it's working unbelievable. And we're having a great time getting it done. And the people that are taking advantage of it have not suffered through any of the turbulence of the markets and the volatility. And if you're interested and want to get signed up and get hooked up for that, there is a cost. But all you do is email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org, and I will fill you in on what it's going to be. But I will assure you that you will be extremely happy if you sign up for it, because you'll be able to sleep at night not worrying about what these idiots decide to do. This has been The Bubba Show. This is Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you check out thebubbashow.org. You'll find some great articles. But for today, that'll do it. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you tomorrow.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.